Golf Smarter number 231 for May 18, 2010.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Around per day, around the world with Jamie and Michael.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading our latest adventure that is the Golf Smarter podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Golf Ahoy at GolfAhoyWest.com. As we approach the second of this year's majors, let's add a fifth to the list. The 2010 Ryder Cup will attract global attention, and you should make your plans to be at Celtic Manor in Wales this fall for all the activities. Email Frank Rogers at Golf Ahoy West now. Go ahead. Put the podcast on hold for a few minutes. Just make sure that you ask Frank about his Golf Smarter exclusive offer. Don't just be there. Get there and stay in style with this fabulous offer. Make your plans now for all the Ryder Cup events when you book through GolfAhoyWest.com. In a million years, at the age of 24, would you ever have told your boss, your parents, your girlfriend that you were quitting your job to travel the world so you can play golf? Not just trying to make a living by playing competitive golf, just play golf. And not for a few weeks or a month, but for an entire year. Well, Michael Goldstein and Jamie Patton, two young attorneys from New Zealand, are doing just that and now have stories to share. Later in the show, we'll talk more about why we love golf, but for me, it's stories like these that add to my passion for the sport. Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jamie.
Thank you.
And Michael, welcome to the show as well.
Thanks, Fred. Good to be here.
It's great to have you guys here. I'm just going to start with a very simple question. What the hell are you doing? Jamie, you start.
Well, how long have you got?
Well, half hour. We got plenty of time to
do
this.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, take your time.
Well, in that case, we're playing a game of golf every day around the world for a year, and we are fundraising for the first tee of New Zealand.
And you started on January 1st, 2010.
We did, bright and early, up the place called Kauri Cliffs in New Zealand, which is one of our more stunning golf courses, and it was a pretty intense start. But beautiful. So since then, we've played 132 games. And here we are in San Francisco. It's beautiful.
So is this going to throw you off? Because we just finished a round, Michael, at Harding Park in San Francisco. You've only been in California, in the United States, since yesterday or day before yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now you're playing two rounds today. Is that going to throw everything off? Because
No. The rules are that we have to play a round of golf every single day.
At least one round.
For a year. At a different golf course every single day. So sometimes we've played about 4 9-hole courses, and we only need to play them once. But occasionally we're joined up with people, and they often want to play twice. So we find ourselves playing these courses twice. But today's very unusual in that we're playing two courses in one day.
Will you use the second round as a reserve, going, you know, we have to travel today? No. You're going to play every single
day. So 2 days ago was our first long-haul flight. We jumped on the plane in Sydney, flew through to Auckland, and then from Auckland through to San Fran. And obviously we went back across the date line there. So when we got to San Fran, it was almost like a day off because we hadn't played golf for 18 hours. And then we had all that afternoon without golf because it played first thing in Sydney. We went to Berkeley, had a look around. It was quite a good afternoon, actually. So it felt like a bit of a holiday. So it's almost like I'm just getting back in the swing of things now.
But you've got to be tired.
Currently, I'm tired.
Just lack of sleep, tired, not because too much golf.
Five nights without a lot of sleep. The way we work it with accommodation is that we often couch surf or stay with friends of friends or, you know, people who contact us through our website. So we've been staying on the couch of a friend in Berkeley for the last two nights, which hasn't been conducive to long sleeps getting over hangover.
There's only one couch as well.
Oh, that
so
makes
one's
it
on the
much
floor.
More difficult.
So I was, you were on the floor last night, weren't you?
Yeah, that was comfortable.
Yeah. Okay. So
we're gonna have to figure out how to do the microphone thing here. Mine's working fine, but I'm gonna have to when you talk. How did this get started? What prompted this idea, and whose idea was it? So, Michael, you start.
The idea came out last year when we were on an end of season trip with our hockey team. So that was in August. and we went up to the Hawke's Bay region in New Zealand, and we were driving out of Cape Kidnappers, which is, you know, a spectacular golf course in New Zealand. I think it's rated something like 30th best golf course in the world, and it's just spectacular. And we're driving out of that. We'd had too much to drink the night before, and there was all kinds of talk being flown around in the car. And then I pretty much just said, we should play golf every day for a year. And everybody laughed.
Yeah, right. Everyone's like, yeah, right. Okay, sure.
And then about a week later, we're back in Wellington, back in the grind of our daily jobs. And we thought, hang on a second, we could probably do this. And we sat down and worked out how we could do it. And we thought, let's write to a couple of golf magazines to see if we could write for them. And let's write to all the golf courses to see if they could host us to play free of charge. And when the letters started coming back positively, we thought, we're onto something here, and we've kind of persevered from there. And each day we were working in our day jobs and then coming home and sending off a whole lot of letters. And we got to the stage where we had this opportunity on our hands, and we thought, bugger it, you only live once, let's do it. So we quit our jobs, and that was in the start of December, and we told our girlfriends that we were going to head away for a year. And
they're looking at you like, together, without us? And okay, well, that answers one question. It was girlfriends, not wives, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Long-term girlfriends, though. So we're both of you doing long-term girlfriends relationships, which is, it has its ups and downs, but...
What are the ups?
Yeah, right. He's got the microphone very far away from him when he says...
Every guy talks about the leave pass. How the hell did you get a leave pass for 1 year? You know, most people struggle to get a leave pass on a Sunday.
On a weekend, yeah, right. Just getting a weekend of golf. I'm going away for... No, you're not.
I'm pretty, going away for a pretty year. Constant topic of conversation.
And it was a tough sell.
It was a tough sell.
Yeah. We're going away for a year and to play golf. And
you're not coming.
Well, they wouldn't want to come anyway. They don't love golf. But here we are. And,
you know, we both worked in law firms. We were junior lawyers. And a lot of the people that we worked with were quite conservative. So you can imagine what they thought when we said, no, we're going to just press pause on this career for a while and play golf every day for a year. And, you know, people just looked at us like we're absolutely crazy. You know, you're giving this away
but aren't
to play
right?
golf.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And you wouldn't have it any other way.
No.
Well, and you're both attorneys.
Yeah, so we both graduated from law school in... we finished university in 2007, and we've both had a couple of years working. And
that was enough.
Yeah, and now it's time to take a year off and...
Yeah, burnt out.
How old are you guys? I'm sorry, I've not asked before. How old are you?
I'm 25, and you're 24?
Yeah, I'm about to turn 25.
Yeah, okay. A few weeks.
Yeah, well, you're right. This is the time to do it.
We'll play golf on your birthday.
Yeah. People say, you know, you've got no mortgage, you don't have kids, you don't have a wife. This is the one opportunity when you can just put everything on hold and, you know, live the dream for a year. And a lot of people can relate to that. I've had a lot of people come up and say, I wish I'd done this for a year when I was young, or this. And it's not necessarily golf. It's all kinds of things. So I think quite a few people can relate to that. Just
well, you're definitely living the dream of many people. Luckily, you are 24, 25 years old, so your body can withstand this kind of, well, it's not punishment for you, and you are walking courses, because you both hit the ball beautifully. It was really, it was so much fun to play with you because you both hit the ball so well. How many, Jamie, how many birdies did you have today?
Three today.
And Michael, I'm talking to Jamie.
brutal.
And how did you like Harding Park in San Francisco, the home of the President's Cup from
beautiful.
2009?
Yeah. It's I didn't know what to expect, but it's pretty wide open. It's quite forgiving, but if you get in the wrong place, you can screw up. I thought it was really nice. The views around the surrounding area, over the lakes and across to the other golf courses, Olympic and Lake Merced, and back into the city, it's a pretty special place.
It's got a real feel to it, this place. I think that if you drop me back here, say next year, I'll instantly know. If you put me on any hole, I think I'd instantly know that I'm in Harding Park. I may not say the same thing after we've played the rest of the courses in this.
Well, yeah, you're playing the Olympic Club, which is just across the water here.
With the trees and the kind of distant lake views, and the ambience of the place, it's quite distinctive from anything we've played so far.
And so you've played, this is your 135th...
Second.
132nd golf course so far this year. How are you able to... I mean, do you remember most of it? Do you remember any of it?
Test us. Ask us.
Where did you play on January 12th?
I'll tell you. And it was in Taupo, and it was Wairaki. Wairaki International. We played with Phil Tairangi, Kiwi pro. Quite a well-known Kiwi pro who's sort of taken us under his wing, and we're going to stay with him in Dallas, and he's a great guy. And we had an amazing day out there. And Keith Robertson was the other guy we played with, who's his mate. Awesome guy.
This guy was 62 or 63, and he plays off 7, but he was the reigning club champion and has been for 7 or 8 times or something, yeah. And he didn't hit it that far. And Wairaki's a good golf course with good golfers, but he's just a wily chap. And, you know, he was sinking putts. I can imagine him playing in the club championships against some 20-year-old hotshot off about a 1 or a scratch, and he got him. So the two of them were great value. It was a good day.
All right, let's continue the test. And Valentine's Day. Now, you guys, February 14th.
We were in Auckland.
You were probably in hot water that day too.
No. It was we were up in.
So
when
you started in New Zealand, or you started?
Yeah, we started in New Zealand. So Auckland is in New Zealand,
right?
And that's where we finished. And the 14th, we played at Omaha Beach, which is about an hour north of Auckland. It's a links course. In kind of a...
it's pronounced Auckland.
Auckland.
When are you guys going to learn how to pronounce the name of your own city?
New Zealand.
Auckland is over there. We're near Auckland. That's where the Athletics and the Raiders play.
But yeah, Omaha Beach is it's kind of like a holidaying hotspot. Uh-huh. And there's a golf course there. It's linksy. It's all right.
We had 8 of us up there that day, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a group. My folks were up to see us off from New Zealand.
That's nice.
They live down south in Christchurch, so do Jamie's folks. And my auntie and her partner were up there as well, and we had a few friends that we were staying with. We crashed on their couch for about 10 days in Auckland, and so they came out and played with us as well that day.
And who was the toughest sell? Was it the folks? Was it the girlfriend? Or was it the boss at work? Who did you really have to... You don't have to sell it to anybody. You're saying, I'm doing this.
No one. Everyone's been really supportive. You know, right from the get-go, no one's really put up roadblocks. There's been people who, you know, may have seemed less enthusiastic than others, but no one's really said, you know, you guys, you're doing a silly thing or whatever. So people, I think, a lot of people get it, what we're doing. It's not just a holiday. It's not just we're going and try and playing golf. It's kind of got a few layers to the project in terms of, you know, we just want to get out there and meet some people, see the world, and get some ideas about what we might want to do as a career beyond this year. And obviously there's the first tee aspect as well, so that'll give the project a kind of deeper meaning. So there's all these layers to it, and I think people get that. We're not, it's a challenge. And so when people recognize that, they sort of tend to have a bit of respect for it, and they've been very supportive of us, so it's been great.
How did the First Tee of New Zealand get involved in this? Did they recruit you or go the other way around? And what made you decide that was the right charity for you?
We were always looking at aligning with a charity. And a woman that we were dealing with called Pip King, who works for New Zealand Golf Marketing Group, we were talking with her about getting access onto a few of the spectacular golf courses in New Zealand. And then she said, hey, I'm actually also the executive director of the First Tee, which was set up in New Zealand in 2005. And would you guys be interested in aligning with us? So we went up there. We had a look at what they do. We spent a day with her at the program and met the coaches and met some of the children. And we heard about the origins of the First Tee in the US and just the nature of the program and how it's tried and tested. And it really resonated with us because we're not high-performance golfers. We're not aspiring to be professionals, but the other things that the game of golf teaches you is probably equally as important, if not more important, than playing a good round and making 3 birdies. So
all right, stop bowing.
So yeah, you know, those values that the First Tee teaches, they're superb, and we thought the program was excellent, so it was a bit of a no-brainer when Pip asked us to align with them. And we're in quite close contact with them back home. And a few of the first tee chapters over in the US have already contacted us, and there's one here at Harding Park, and we're going to go and meet a couple of the people after this.
Yeah, and do you have contact with various first tee organizations across the around the world? Like, is it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so it's worldwide, and so we know, for example, that we're going to meet up with them in Ireland, and hopefully we're going to do some sort of co-sanctioned fundraisers, whereby we'll do, say, a golf day. We'll get a field of 40 or 50 people come out and play a game of golf, maybe have a little charity auction. We'll say a few words about our experiences and so on. We might have a dinner or two. These kind of things, just to build the profile of the first tee, and maybe the proceeds can be shared with the local chapter and with the one we're trying to get off the ground, or help get elevate the profile of in New Zealand, because the first tee in New Zealand is only in Auckland. There you go. Got it.
he raises his eyebrows.
So we're trying to, you know, we'd like to see it get further around the country, so kids nationwide, Christchurch, where we're from, can benefit from it. So, yeah, so to answer your question, the First Tee Network has been great in contacting us and making it happen, so we want to get involved as much as possible.
I hate to keep going back to this, you know, selling the idea, but did either of you have to sell the idea to one another? I mean, how long have you guys known each other, and how tough of a sell was that?
About 10 years. So I moved across to New Zealand from Scotland when I was 15 for the last 2 years of school there. And we met at school, and we had a lot in common. We played hockey, we played golf, you know, other things. So that's when how long we've been friends for. And
you went through university and law school together?
We went through law school together as well. Oh, and then I moved up to Wellington, Goldie did something else and came up a year later. And, you know, we played hockey up there together too. So we just have, you know, have a few things in common on a similar wavelength. And the idea came, and we just worked at it, and we just both grabbed it. We thought, we've got to do it, you know. What Michael said before, life's too short. So we just fed off each other's enthusiasm for it, I think.
There's a big barrier of water between us, and that. So when you say hockey, you're talking field hockey?
Field hockey.
Yeah, not ice hockey. They don't talk about field hockey here.
No.
They talk about...
Girls hockey.
Girls hockey.
Girls hockey, yeah.
April 12th.
April 12th, we were in Australia, and we were traveling...
We were in
Hunter. Oh, gee, what a day. A day. That was the day...
I couldn't hear what he said.
That was the day after our girlfriends came and spent a week with us in Sydney, and April the 12th was, that was actually the day that they left, April 12th. That was a Monday, and we played a 9-hole course that day because their flight left at something like 4 p.m, and we dropped them at the airport and then played a 9-hole course that was right next to the airport, and the last hole we played it, the sun was going down. There's not much of a twilight in Australia, so we're on the seventh hole, and it's good light, and then on the eighth green it just starts coming in. So that wasn't the most memorable round of golf, but the next day, if I could keep going,
April 13th,
a cracker, because we went and played at a place called The Vintage, which is in the Hunter Valley north of Sydney in Australia, and we played with a guy, a legend of golf, called Jack Newton. And Jack Newton is an Aussie guy, and he came and based himself in the US as a professional golfer when he was young and was really successful. And he had heaps of character and flair and charisma. And he was kind of like a true blue Aussie bloke. And he did really well initially in the British Open.
Came in second.
And he got second. Wow. He missed a putt on the 18th green to win the Open. And then he had a 18-hole playoff against Tom Watson the next day. And, you know, all of Aussies watching to see if, you know, another Aussie could win the Open. And he didn't quite manage that one. But then he also got close at the Masters and came second at the Masters to Seve in, I think, 19... I'm not sure the year. But he's a legend of Aussie golf. And he's won a number of events through Australia and through the US. So we got the opportunity to play with him. But the thing that makes Jack interesting is that he's a bit of a lad. And he was always known as such. And one day, I'm not sure how it came about exactly, but he walked into a propeller of an aeroplane and he lost his arm and an eye. And he was seriously ill for quite a while in hospital. And all of the golfing fraternity in the US and in Australia got behind him and, you know, well wishes of support and everything like that. Because I think It was all pretty serious there for a while. And he came out the other side, and instead of just, you know, forgetting about golf and whatnot, he set up a foundation in Australia which is like the first tee. It's called the Jack Newton Junior Golf Foundation, and they nurture young players through the game and have produced all kinds of Aussie superstars. And so that's how the link came through to us. But Jack's now, he's really involved with golf.
He played with you guys on April 13th.
And he played. So the first tee, we're standing there with this guy.
With one arm?
With one arm.
Yeah.
And he takes out driver, and he's in his 60s, and he swings it with his left arm, 180 metres down the middle with the draw. And it's like, what? A beautiful thing.
Wow. How inspirational.
We kept playing, and Jack didn't actually hit it that well that day, and he was clearly getting a bit frustrated because it's a really tough course, the vintage. It's designed by Greg Norman, which means that everything's big. And yeah, if you can't drive the ball like Greg Norman can, then you might be in trouble. So we're playing with Jack, and he's not hitting it very well off the tee after the first one. And after the ninth hole, which we started on the back nine, so that was the 18th, we went into the clubhouse for a drink, and Jack's known as a bit of a, you know, drinker, and we sat there and had a couple of beers and had a rum, and we were with another journalist who we met in Australia, and then we had another one, and then we had another one, and then Jamie and I look at each other, and the sun's just setting, and it's getting lower and lower, and we know there's no twilight in Australia, so we were like, oh, we better go. So we jumped in a cart each, and went to the first tee, and just flew around the front nine in about 45, 50 minutes. First two or three holes, So first couple of holes, we didn't hit it that well, but we kind of got used to it, and it played okay. And then we came back, and they were sitting exactly where they were when we left them, and we just had another beer, and it was a great man to talk to.
Unbelievable. And you said he also lost an eye in that.
Yeah, he's got a glass
accident.
Eye. Yeah.
So which eye?
Oh, now you're asking. He's lost his right eye.
And he plays with his left hand.
Yeah, yeah. So he's lost.
Right?
He's got his left eye and his left arm, and he's lost his right eye and his right arm. Jack will correct me if I'm wrong, but
so he's playing left-handed.
Yeah.
With no right eye.
Right-handed.
He's.
No.
He's playing right-handed.
With his left arm, with his front hand.
Okay. Oh,
and,
okay.
And he's got his left hand, his left eye.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah, you can putt. I'm just trying to think, how can he putt, or, you know, how can he see if with half of the vision?
He's a good putter.
And he's a good putter, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? He's got a great touch, huh?
He's got a great touch.
Wow.
So Jack invited us to stay at his house after that on the way back down from Queensland, which is more northern part of Australia. And we stayed at his estate, which is not far from the Hunter Valley. And his house was just filled with memorabilia. Just some amazing.
I feel like I'm bringing the bar down for you guys. You know, you're playing with these amazing people.
Yeah, it's been a real letdown. Yeah.
And here you come to the United States and you get this guy with a podcast. And it's like, oh, no.
Nah, today was awesome.
It was a beautiful day. Boy, did we get lucky with
the thing about what we're doing is we play with people. We join up with people probably 70% of the time. And not many of them are characters like Jack Newton.
Yeah.
We play with all kinds of people from, you know, guys who are self-employed, guys who are taking their one day off a week to play golf. You know, Saturdays and Sundays, often golf courses are very busy places. We've played in fields of women. We've played with juniors. We've played with just all kinds of people.
You're just
from
traveling
different
around, and most of the time it's wherever you get mixed up.
If there's just the two of us, then we'll just join up with another two ball somewhere.
Right.
So we've met all kinds of different people, and that's probably the best part about the experience.
And I, when you were traveling around Australia and New Zealand, people aren't going, hey, you're from out of town. I mean, I guess your accent wouldn't be that.
Well, actually, in Australia, they do pick you up a lot. Yeah, we were surprised. We got pulled up a lot, and particularly me, because I've got my muddled half Scottish, half Kiwi accent, and they would pick you up all the time on sucks and fish and chips, and that's how Kiwis talk according to the Aussies, eh? So we got picked up a lot. Obviously not in New Zealand.
And so they go, what are you guys doing here? I mean, and how often does the story come up that's like, oh, we're playing 365 rounds in 365
quite often.
Days? Do you bring it up? I mean, people are like, yeah?
It comes up normally because somebody asks, you know, what are you doing tomorrow? And we're playing golf. What did you do yesterday? Oh, we're playing golf. What? You guys not have a job? Oh, no. So this is how the story goes. Often we, you know, tell a story, and after a couple of holes, you can move past that and just get to know the people. So that's pretty good.
All right, so now we're in May. You've just arrived in the United States. You're in a different hemisphere. Everything is going in the different directions. What's the itinerary? What happens next? How strict of a schedule do you have?
Not too strict. We've got a bit of an idea. We've got 63 days in the States all up, so 61 more now. We're in California for the next week or so, or just slightly more. So we're heading a couple of more days in San Fran, and then we head down through sort of Stanford, Paso Tiempo, down onto Monterey. We're playing a couple of games down there. I see your eyes light up.
Yep. And you're playing at?
We're playing Cypress and Spyglass.
You guys read The Match? Have you ever read the book called The Match?
No.
Read it.
Yeah?
On this trip, if you can, by Mark Frost.
What's it about? I'll find out.
Yeah, it's about a match that actually took place that nobody knows about. And Ken Venturi and Ben Hogan and I mean these four guys, it's a phenomenal story that you would never hear. But since you're driving up and down California coast, and it's all about the Crosby clam bake, you know, that ended up being the AT&T Pebble Beach. Phenomenal story, and it'll be a great entertaining read for you while you're doing this golf trip.
Yeah, we'll find it. Yeah.
So, okay, so you're driving down California. You'll drive down the coast.
Yeah, and then we're going
to play Cypress.
Then we're going to drive cross-country through the southern states and then drive north up the east coast. But our schedule, you know, we've got an idea of where we want to go, but a lot of people contact us and invite us to their golf courses or help us out with, taking us as a guest onto a course or whatnot. So,
let's make sure that the audience is aware, you know, what your path is, and if they have an opportunity, if they would like to host you, if you need a place to crash or you need, you know, to sleep overnight or maybe, you know, a round of golf, and you don't care if you play courses like Cypress or Harding, these high end courses. You'll play municipal course on your route, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So so that's a great opportunity. So if you've heard this podcast and you're intrigued by their story and want to meet these guys, they're great guys, just go ahead and email me and I'll get in touch with them and then I'll put you two together.
Cool.
Your website, let's talk about your website for a minute, but then I want to continue in your path in the United States. Your website is Pure Golf 2010.
PureGolf2010.com, and every day we write about what we've been doing. So if you go on there now, there's 130 write-ups of the golf courses we've played, and it's a mixture between, you know, talking about the golf course but also talking about the people we've met, sites we've seen, where we're staying, sometimes what we've eaten.
You get to eat, you have
plane trips, etc. So it's like a diary in some ways, but there's also some pretty cool write-ups of a few stunning golf courses and some good photos, and then we also do a few videos to put on there as well.
So you're going through the southern part of the United States, meaning so you go to Southern California, and then
across we go Palm Springs, Phoenix,
California,
and then we
Arizona,
go to Dallas,
and then down to Texas.
Yep, through New Mexico, I think, but we're going to go pretty much straight through there.
Okay,
and then from Dallas down Louisiana, New Orleans, into Florida. And then from Florida up to Georgia, and then through the Carolinas. And then from there were Virginia, Maryland, Washington. No, it's not Washington.
Yeah, Maryland, Washington, D.C.
Maryland, Washington, D.C. And then we're into New Jersey, New York, and we fly to there July 12th.
So you're not going up farther through Boston?
No, I don't think we'll have time.
So New York, and then you head where?
To the U.K.
Okay.
So that's 12 July is our flight, and 15th of July, as most of you will know, is the start of the Open Championship. So we're going to get there, basically, because we're hoping to play in it. No. We're going to get to the Open to go and be around the buzz, and because I grew up in Scotland, pretty keen to get back and play a bit of golf there.
When was the last time you were there?
2001.
Oh, okay.
Long time. So
you have family?
Yeah, bit of family there around the UK and particularly in Scotland. So it'll be fantastic just to be around that buzz and to sort of...
So will you sacrifice a round of golf to go and watch the Open?
No. We'll do what we did back in New Zealand. We've got to play every day. So we'll play golf first thing in the morning, say at 5, 6 a.m. and then go out and have the rest of the day to watch golf and hang out and do whatever we need to do. Man. So that's how it goes. And Ryder Cup as well. The Ryder Cup's on beginning of October. So we'll go down to Wales for that.
Yeah.
So, and long days in the UK.
Long days in the UK. So then after the... How much time in the UK?
About 4 months. So this is kind of fluid at the moment, but we're looking at about 4 months, maybe
that's
slightly
a lot
less.
Of golf, yeah.
Between 3 and 4. And then perhaps Northern Europe, bit of Holland and France.
And that'll be what time of year? So you're still in summertime.
Yeah, it's getting fall, as you guys call it.
The fall, okay,
autumn,
and autumn,
as we
so
call it.
Autumn.
Yeah, so we're going to have just a gluttony of Lynx golf.
Yeah.
Three months. It's going to be magic. So hopefully it's going to blow and it's going to be raining, but it's going to be awesome.
Oh, sounds great.
It's not going to be like this.
Yeah, maybe not.
No, it'll be a real awesome.
And then, so you're going to make your way across
Europe as
well?
Then we're going to head back. No. Well, then we're going to fly through Dubai, because from when we get to, well, from now, when we travel, we're traveling east. Mm-hmm. So we're traveling against the clock. So when we're in the air, we're also losing time on the ground. So we need to manage that quite carefully. So we're planning on flying from somewhere in the UK, probably through to Dubai. We'll stop there for 3 or 4 days and play a bit of golf. And then we'll also stop in Southeast Asia. We're not sure of the exact destination in Southeast Asia, but
I've played in Thailand.
Yeah, we've heard Thailand's
Thailand's
fantastic.
A great country. I loved Thailand, and I loved playing golf there.
And Vietnam, they've contacted us as well. They've got quite a golf industry as well. And you've obviously got Mission Hills in China.
Right.
And we've got, you know, there's a few people have contacted us from
Singapore.
You
don't know how long. And the goal is all the way through December 31st?
Yeah, so.
And then your girlfriends sell your golf clubs on January
exactly,
1st and say,
exactly.
That's it, you're done.
Yeah, they pull them off. No, the last month we'll be spending in New Zealand, and the focus will be on raising money for the charity through various golfing events.
Okay.
So we're going to run quite a number of golf days then. And we're finishing with a bang on the 31st of December at Cape Kidnappers Golf Course, where the idea was spawned.
Great. So you make it back there.
Yep.
And try to reorient yourself and, like, where.
And then on the
I?
First, we wake up and we don't play golf.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. What do you want to do today? I don't know. Let's play golf. Okay.
I'll play golf, I think, in that first week. It's going to be tough to get out of the cycle.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, hopefully, willing, your health stays strong. You're still young. I mean, and you eat well and don't get caught up by bad food
calling
in strange
fat.
Places. And
yeah.
What?
Yeah, no.
It's going to be an amazing, amazing adventure. And it's so interesting because the way I discovered what you were doing was every year around the first of the year, I interview this guy who's the top 100 golf courses around the world he's playing. He calls himself the top 100 blogger. I don't know his name. I don't know what he does. But he comes on the show every year because I'm fascinated about his journey. And I got an email from him saying, I think it was in New Zealand. He wrote to me. It was from Australia. He wrote to me from Australia and said, I'm in Australia. I'm playing, and I'm playing with these two guys. You've got to cover this story. You've got to check these guys out. And then, so I wrote to you, and you wrote right back, and I said, are you coming to California? It's like, as a matter of fact. So it's like, awesome. We got to play together. I couldn't wait to do it. And I'm just so excited for you, and I want to follow the journey, but we will. You know, please come onto our Facebook group on Golf Smarter and say hello occasionally on there. But we'll all keep an eye on the on puregolf2010.com.
Thanks very much, mate. It's been great.
Thanks for the day.
It's been magic.
Yeah, thank you so much, and good luck, good health, and safe travels.
Thanks.
Cheers.
You too, mate.
Oh, what a great adventure that is. You know, last week I promoted that Jeff Ritter would be joining us, and he will in 2 weeks, because I now have 2 episodes with him providing his wisdom, advice, and amazing stories. So Jeff Ritter is coming on. Check him out, Jeff Ritter Golf. But again, Jamie and Michael are posting a daily blog at puregolf2010.com. Plus, they have a page on Facebook. They're posting photos and videos of their adventures. Unfortunately, as of right now, the video of us playing together at Harding Park has fallen under the licensing thumb of YouTube, and the audio has been removed. Yeah, they started using songs they didn't have licensing for, and they call themselves lawyers. Come on. Anyway, if you'd like to play with these guys, and maybe even put them up for a night, you could be doing them a favor. Click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com. Tell me about where you are. If you're available to help these guys out, and I would be happy to forward your information along to them and be the intermediary between the two of you. Now, speaking of their Facebook page, please join our weekly updates, conversations, videos, and photos posted by Golf Smarter listeners on our Golf Smarter Facebook group. And, hey, hey, I'm getting hip. I've just launched a Golf Smarter Twitter account. We're on Twitter at Golf Smarter. It used to be Fred Green, but that had nothing to do with golf. So, anyway, the Golf Smarter Twitter account, please join us there. Follow us, and I will follow you as well. Our show today is sponsored by Golf Ahoy at GolfAhoyWest.com. For any and all of your golf travel plans, you should seriously consider contacting Frank Rogers at GolfAhoyWest.com by clicking on the banner at the top of GolfSmarter.com. Right now, Frank wants you to know that they have an exclusive Golf Smarter package for the 2010 Ryder Cup. There's limited space available to charter your flight from the U.S. aboard Team USA's chartered Boeing 767, then stay on a luxury cruise ship just off the coast, and tickets are included to each day's Ryder Cup events. An amazing once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And you're worth it, aren't you? Come on. You're worth it. At least you may be able to convince somebody that you're worth it, so they'll buy it for you. Anyway, check into it now, and while you're at it, make sure you tell Frank you want to be part of a future Golf Smarter adventure, and we're going to try to book it through Golf Ahoy, and it's at GolfAhoyWest.com. One of the added benefits to joining Golf Smarter for members only is regular prize drawings for our members, and I want to congratulate John Pappas. He's a Golf Smarter member. He lives in Hidden Valley Lake, California. Now, how cool is this? I don't usually give away addresses, and I'm not going to. John, I'm going to send you a copy of the Homer Kelly's Golfing Machine. Really entertaining book. Fascinating story. How about this? John lives on Tiger Wood Court. Come on, really? Tiger Wood? That's the name of your street? John, I got to know. Did you move there because of the street name? I can imagine the conversation with my wife. Babe, no, really, we have to live here. It's going to help my golf game. And wow, what a great conversation starter. Yeah, the house is nice, but we live on Tiger Wood Court. she'd never agree in a million years. I got to know how you got to do that one, John. Let me know. Email me. Let me know how you got on Tiger Wood Court. Our closing segment is brought to you today by a new book of golf poems by John Ducker called The Kiss That Caused My Slice. This book is a great Father's Day present, and since it's next month, you got to start thinking about it. It's available in our book section at the Golfers Mart at golfsmarter.com. Now, if you'd like to win a signed copy of this book, just send me a reason why you love golf. And if we use it on the show for the next month, John will sign a copy and send it directly to you. Recently written up in the Wall Street Journal, the book again is called The Kiss That Caused My Slice. Next week, we'll close with a reason why one of you loves golf. But today, I want to share one line from John's poem called Why I Love Golf. I love seeing people practice putting while riding an elevator. If you have any comments, suggestions, or invitations for Jamie and Michael, or reasons why you love golf, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.